It's the 28th. Hold places then. We'll begin in Hebrews. But I said, Kathy, we were sitting at the table, and I said, I was just going to tell you before the word got out that that I bought dinner for a young lady the other day. Pretty blonde hair, blue-eyed girl. Matter of fact, y'all been hearing anything about blonde hair, blue-eyed people in the news this week? They're all Nazis. That ain't true. Are you crazy? I mean, give us a break, you know? How does the right side, the conservatives, never get in on that kind of stuff about, you know, blonde hair, blue eye? You know, I don't know if you've been keeping up or that's you, if you've seen any kind of news at all, you know what I'm talking about. And, you know, so, but anyway, I said, Kathy, I bought dinner for a blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl, young lady. I said, she just come up to me in the cafeteria and started talking to me, and I bought her lunch. I said, you want me to tell you who it is? She said, I don't care. Okay. Okay, Kathy, okay. Go ahead. There was a blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl that used to go to Grace Baptist Church, you remember? And she come out, and me and Kathy, I mean, we're married. And she come out, and we're shaking hands, and she reached up and adjusted my tie. Kathy said, somebody said, did you see that, Kathy? She said, if she can get him, she can have it. Where'd you learn phrases like that? From your mama, right? You want me to tell you who it is? It don't matter to me. No, she wasn't like you. Nope. She sort of, you know how women, they sort of, you know what I mean. She got a little withdrawn with me. I said, well, I'm going to tell you who it was. Her mama was in the hospital, and it was Amy Reeves. She went, no. I pay Kathy good to take the heat while I'm up here. All right, in Hebrews chapter 2, we make a statement here last week that's a statement that's dear, that's on my heart, that the majority of people, I don't know about in other worlds, other nations, but the studies I've come across is there's an overwhelming majority of people that are actually full of anxiety and stress and worry. I don't know if you fit into that category. We're subject to fall in that slew of despond at any time for any given reason. Some people slip in quicker than others. But all of us are subject to be one of those statistics that are overwhelmed with life and overwhelmed and full of anxiety and depression. God can help you, my friend, if you're in that category or if you ever get there. Pray that you don't. The overwhelming majority, the studies that I've been exposed to say that the masses are in that kind of mental condition. And of course, it results from a spiritual condition too. A friend of mine, father-in-law, died several years ago, and they were very close. They were very close. And when he died, my friend got overwhelmed. And he went to the doctor. And it was a good doctor. Because he examined him and nothing was wrong with it. He thought he was dying or whatever. And here's what he said to my friend. He said, do you have a pastor? Boy, that's a good doctor right there, ain't it? I remember coming back from Mexico one time. If you ever get sick, I hope you get sick at home and not in a foreign land. I've been sick 3 or 4 times down there, and that's okay. I mean, you know, it's just part of the work. But I got so sick, from my waist down, there was red spots on my body. And we'd been in the woods, and you know, you've been down there, David and Philip, you know what I'm talking about, walking through the brush there. So when I got home, and my throat, I couldn't even swallow, and all of this and that, and Kathy finally convinced me to go to the doctor, and went up there in Fort Payne to the doctor, and they said, get him over to the hospital, and he's very seriously dehydrated. And the word got out that I was in the hospital, and somebody said, Roger, the word, it gets back to me, okay? And that's okay. I mean, it's sort of funny because they said, Roger's in the hospital. He's brought something from Mexico, and he's going to kill us all. So the nurses, you know, saw my legs, and they said, oh. And then the doctor came in, and they said, look at those legs. That's sort of funny. I didn't want them looking at my legs. Look at those legs. No, they said, look at those legs. He said, that's not his problem. He's got, how do you say it, straps. Yeah, I can never say it right. And the doctor looked at me, and he said, are you worried about something? I said, I'm worried. Because when I left this church to go to Mexico for those 2 weeks, there was a little turbulence here. And I took it with me. And the men said this, and good men, they said, Roger, don't worry about nothing. We'll take care of everything. In other words, what they're saying is we will watch the flock. And that was comforting to know. That I didn't do like one man did that went on vacation in a church down here in Etowah County. I know him well. He went on vacation. He come back and they said, you're not the pastor here anymore. And they've known to do that. I mean, the church of hanging preachers out to dry. So, but anyway, the doctor said, are you worried about something? And I teared up. I just broke down. And I said, I am. I said, I'm a pastor. And I'm worried about my church. I'm just telling you, I was overwhelmed. And sometimes you don't have to be a pastor to be overwhelmed. Every one of you carry something that can get you down. And ain't it good to know that we're not alone if we know the Lord Jesus? And if we don't know, if there's people that don't know him, I don't see how they make it. You know what they do? They turn to the bottle, or they turn to drugs, or they turn to sex. God help us about these people down in this county, whatever it was, that were torturing those kids and had them chained. They need to turn. Those people deserve death as far as I'm concerned. But we got a representative and we got help. When we get in that kind of situation that I was talking about, maybe anxiety, depression, we need to go to the Lord first. We need to go to him, and we have him to help us. In Hebrews chapter 2 and in verse 17, wherefore in all things it behooved him. Now listen to this. This is Jesus, him. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. He's like us. That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in all things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Jesus, I got a ton of scriptures here in Hebrews. I'm not going to take time to read them all. I might just look in chapter 7 for just a minute. If you want to look at that, I think this is, let me make sure I got the right verse. Verse 23, and they truly were many priests. That's the Aaronic priesthood, okay, in the Mosaic economy under the law. There were many of them because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. Their representatives died. But this man, Jesus, because he continued ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, an unchangeable representation for you and I, between us and God. Wherefore, he's able to save them. You ever wonder if God's able to, you know, there's a sinner out there somewhere that's probably thinking, God ain't going to save me. If you're telling the one that created this world, and you're accusing the one that created the universe, and in the 7 6 days, and by his word, you're telling God he can't help you. You don't realize who God is if you think he can't help you and save you. Wherefore, he's able to save them. Where? To the uttermost, to the guttermost, to the uttermost. It does not matter how deep you are in your situation. Oh, yeah. He's able. Save them to those most that come to him by God. See that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest, that means this is the kind of high priest we have. For such an high priest, look at it, became us. You realize in chapter 2 we read that it pleased him to be like his brethren. He came like us. And now it's saying again that he said this. He said, for such an high priest became us, came to us, and became like us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, and he offered up himself, one time salvation. Forever salvation, one time, not saved one day, lost the next, saved one day, lost the next, but saved forever, one time, by the man that will never die. Law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath which was since the law maketh the Son, who is consecrated forever and consecrated, is set apart for our saving and for our hell. In the book of Exodus in chapter 28, look there for just a moment or two, please. We're discussing for a moment the attire of the priest, the high priest that was Aaron. And when he died, one of his sons took over. When he died, one of his brothers, and then one of his children, and one of the others, it was all from Aaron. Aaron was a type of Jesus Christ, which priest for a time with him. And the clothes that they put on, those holy garments that they put on, represented who Jesus is and what he stands for and how he can help us. Just going to look at two of the items. The Bible says in chapter 28, verse 1, and take thou unto thee Aaron, thy brother. That's telling Moses to do this. Aaron was his older brother. And take thou unto thee Aaron, thy brother, and his sons with him from among the children of Israel. They were set apart to be of the priest, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, Ahu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons, four sons. Thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron, thy brother, for glory and beauty. Let me tell you this, my friends. We are commanded, exhorted, to display that glory and beauty to this world as we let our light shine. You and I are supposed to be priests in this world, representing God. And our disposition, our position and disposition, and our display in this world should be of glory and beauty when we're out wherever we are. Thou shalt speak unto all that are wise hearted. Okay, so there'll be some in there that might not have been wise hearted. And he said, those that speak unto all those that are wise hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, and they shall make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister to me in the priest's office. So they set to work, the people that can sew and make, and I'm sure there was probably women involved and men involved in this, that were putting together the attire for the great high priest, and his sons had a lesser uniform at that time, but he has a number one. And the idea is Jesus, he's the one that wears the crown, not us. We're under him, but we should be dressed similar. Now, these are the garments which they shall make, a breastplate, that's what we're going to look at, and an ephod, and a robe, and a broader coat. We're going to look at a couple of these things. So mitre and a girdle. They shall make holy garments for Aaron, thy brother, and his sons, that he may minister to me in the priest's office. They shall take gold and blue and purple and scarlet. Gold is deity. Blue's the heavens. Purple's the royalty. And scarlet is the blood. You understand, you're not getting anywhere with God without the scarlet. Gotta go through the blood. And they shall make the ephod of gold and blue and purple and scarlet, fine linen, cunning work. It shall have the two shoulder pieces. Now, what we're looking at, first of all, is the shoulder pieces. It shall have two shoulder pieces thereof, joined at the two edges thereof. And so it shall be joined together. And the curious girdle of the ephod, which is upon it, shall be of the same. The ephod, from what I understand, was some kind of, you see people wearing vests, there's a coat without any sleeves on. That's exactly sort of the way that was. And all of this is looking together with chains of gold and with all these colors. And so he said, it shall have two shoulder pieces joined at the two edges thereof. And so it shall be joined together. The first girdle of the ephod, which is upon it, shall be of the same according to the work thereof, even of gold, blues, purple, scarlet, fine twined linen. Thou shalt take two onyx stones. Very important. I know there's a message in all these kind of jewels, precious stones. There's a message there. There's a message there. But significantly, these two stones were very important, because he said, engrave on them the names of the children of Israel, six of their names on one stone, and six of their names on the rest on the other stone, according to their birth, with the work of an engraver. In stone, like the engravings of the signet, shalt thou engrave the two stones with the names of the children of Israel. Thou shalt make them to be set in ouches, and to say that right, little pockets of gold, and thou shalt put the two stones upon the shoulders of the ephod for the stones of the memorial of the children of Israel, and Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord upon his two shoulders for a memorial. Thou shalt make ouches of gold and two chains of pure gold at the ends of wreathen work shalt thou make them, and pass the wreathen chains to the oceans. And I want you to understand what it is. And I want you to know, my friends, it's representative of what you need and I need and the whole world needs when we need somebody to help us to shoulder our burdens and shoulder our life. We have Jesus, and his shoulders are stronger than ours. The Bible says that he will bear the government. In Isaiah, the government shall be upon his shoulder. He bears the burdens of the whole earth. And you and I, neither one of us, none of us, have the strength to carry on in life with our strength. We've got to help His strength. Flesh will fail you. Some of your flesh is failing you now. We're getting older. The flesh will fail you. The flesh will deceive you. The flesh can trick you. Your heart cannot be trusted. You've got to trust Jesus. And on His shoulders, He bears us. I don't know. Just don't know. Church the other day said she tripped and fell coming out of here to come to the house. She was going to the place where she can get help. Why do we wait until He gets her help? Why do we wait until He gets our home, our marriage, our children? Why do we wait to come to God to the last thing? Why? I don't know what it is, but His strength, the Bible says in Psalm 40, verse 10, He brought me up also. Where? Out of a horrible place. Maybe He's got fire in him. When I was in school in junior high, I was used out phrases that was ambiguous. That means you were down. But this has not the significance to a believer that is down and out, but it has significance to a lost sinner that says, I'm down there, but and He won't save me. The Word of God said He's able to save me. What was that? The Word of God says, and He brought me up also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings, and He hath put a new song in my mouth. We don't have to sing, woe is me anymore. Agony. We can sing, praise the Lord. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise to our God. And watch this, when that happens, when they come out of the pit, they get a new song and praise in their heart, in their life, their mouth. It says, many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. That means when you get things like that, God, things are going to happen. Let's good for nothing. Somebody said, a rut. Heard this when I was just a kid, and I didn't really understand it all that much. They said, a rut. You get in a rut, you know what a rut is? It's a grave to both ends off in. Just living down. Saved by the God give him the strength to do that, but I want you to understand there's some things that we're not going to be able to carry on our own. Why don't we wait till the last? Say, God, I need some His strength every day. The Bible says, as thy days go, so shall thy strength be. Well, I want to bother God. Are you kidding? You're bothering Him if you don't. Father God. I tell you what, Father God, you know, as Father and God to come to and prepare him. Giving it all to God today and say, I'm just coming, God, give me, I'm the chair, you're thirsty. If the lost get saved and you're saved, get God in your life. Do you? The Bible says that many shall see it. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. That means people get saved. And I like to see many such people get saved in that thing. I want to, I pray. I long. It's your and my responsibility to show through this church and in our lives the real thing about God. And once our kids see the real thing, you'll never be satisfied with this false stuff that's going around. They'll never be satisfied unless they see the power of God. We had a revival here one time. This man walked out the door. I mean, we had a major revival years ago. And here's what he said to me. He said, I knew there was something more. And he went to church. As far as I know, he's been in church a long time. First time he saw him, God worked in a church group. Love there. There it is, his shoulders. It carries friends. It can carry you. Now, you're a kid band, you're a band. Built this thing. Next purpose, higher. Verse 15. Thou shalt. Now, the first thing we need to notice about God, it's the very first thing, is he cares. Our name, then. Show you something. Let's do it. That one olive branch, you can look in Romans, I can give you scriptures later, Romans 7, Romans 8, Romans 5, you can read that. They put that dead limb for a while, dead or wild, I mean, it can have sap in it, whatever, but they cut that limb off, that fruitless vine tree, and they attach it there, wrap it up, however they do it, it's called wrapping. They do that with medicine. Do you understand that I've just heard this week with the bladder, they can actually produce a bladder part of your body that would not be resistant to an implant? They make their creative bladder. That's crazy. There's that wrapped it in the end. And you know what happens? Sap comes up. You know, this is Israel right here. Yes, we're in there too. Our names are on his shoulder. He knows our name. My sheep hear my voice, and they know me, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And my Father, which is greater than me, knoweth all things. Jesus, yeah. in him. You know, it's much right, it's not more right to Jesus than Jim's ever thought that. I mean, you know, it's forever preaching. I know we all get saved, they do too. Hope to be. There it is. Think about that. You're grafted in. You say, I'll never amount to nothing. You get grafted into Jesus, friends. You're going to bear holy fruit, which is love, joy, peace, temperance. On through that. Now, fruits of the Spirit, when you get saved, you'll start growing peace, joy, temperance. We'll have something like you never thought you'd ever have. Got a little of an epistle. And yeah. We really, really flesh there. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, remember when you got saved, you thought you'd die. You were without strength. You were at the bottom. Yes. We're in your own pit, whatever that may encompass. You were without strength. And you people that may be listening by way of today, and I don't believe just one person in this building believes you've got a word to be saved. And I'm going to tell you what, when you've done everything you can do, use every ounce of strength you can muster to try to please God and save yourself, maybe one day you'll realize you're not able to do it. When you're yet without strength, or when we were yet without strength, in due time, that means right on time. Due time means you got help right when you needed it, or it would have been too late. You ever think if you'd have put God off again, you could never have had a chance? In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And how much does he care for you? For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet for adventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended his love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. Now the grafting. The grafting. Romans chapter 8. Chapter 8, just a couple of pages of it, verse 35. Who shall separate us? Well, I got the wrong scripture there. It's over chapter 11 here. Yes, goodbye. Here it is, chapter 11. For I speak to you, Gentiles, verse 13. Paul said, look, the Gentiles developed a sense of arrogancy, thinking they had a little more place than the Jews did. And he said, I speak to you, Romans 11, 13, Gentiles, insomuch as I am an apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them, the Jews. For if the casting away of them be reconciling of the world, the Jews were cut off, where we could be saved, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruits be holy, the lump is holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. Now here it is. Here's the branch. Here's the illustration. If the root be holy, here's the root right here. Here's Jesus. If the root be holy, if the root be holy, so are the branches. There's the branches. If the root's holy, if we're rooted in Jesus, we're holy too. And if some of the branches be broken off, that's the Jews, and thou being a wild olive tree, do you remember when you was a wild olive tree? Making it on your own, don't need God. Make it without it. Wild olive tree. You ever, you know, I don't eat many olives, but I tell you what, I don't believe I want to eat a green olive or a wild olive. If thou being broken off, thou being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them. And when thou partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, when you partake of the goodness of God, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. You're bragging on you instead of God. Thou wilt then say, then the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded with fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Why in the world, if I'm in Jesus, why in the world would I brag about me, not about him? Why is an insult to God? You see on those shoulders of those priests with a name, our names were written down. Our names, I got some scripture, it's written in his hands, graved in his heart. Our names are there. He knows them. It's written there. And you have access to his strength. And you fill it. And we're going to have a, he's going to have a little music. And Father, as we begin this invitation, I don't know people's hearts. You do. I pray, Father, that we will not try to go in our own strength. Lord, you're the mighty one. You're the mighty God. And I just pray that you'll deliver people today as they turn to you for help, strength. Let it be, I pray, and if necessary, for salvation in Jesus' name. Amen. You come and pray. Come and pray if God's spoken to your heart. You come on and do that right now.